All right. Well, praise the Lord. I want us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalm chapter 100. And I say praise the Lord because that's what we're talking about this morning. We've been talking about prayer. We've been seeing what God says about prayer from His Word, how He wants us to pray. Now, again, I want to emphasize this. When we talk about prayer and our prayer life, prayer is not about us. Amen. And when we look at prayer, it's not about, well, I'm going to pray the way I want to pray. No, God has a way He wants us to pray. And He's outlined that in Scripture. As a matter of fact, we've read the verse where the disciples said, teach us to pray. Well, so what does that mean? It means it's something that has to be taught. And we've looked at various aspects of it. And last week, we looked at the aspect of our prayer life should include thanksgiving. And when we think about thanksgiving and we think about praise, we think they're synonymous, but they are very, very different. And we're going to look at praise this morning. It's going to overlap with what we were talking about thanksgiving, because in Psalm chapter 100 and in verse 4, it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And we see two things that are here in this verse. We have the establishment of thanksgiving, and we have the establishment of praise. We enter into God's presence being thankful in our hearts, being thankful in our minds, being thankful in our thoughts, being thankful in our words, and being thankful in our actions. That's how we enter into that presence. But once we're in that presence, things are different, and we are now in that court with praise. Now, when we talk about that word court, I want us to think about that for a moment, what court really is. Now, some of us may think of court as in we've had to appear before a judge before for a speeding ticket or whatever, maybe something more serious. You can keep that to yourself. But I'm talking about the court, and I want you to think about this idea of where a court was what was before the throne, where you would have this throne that was there, and somebody would come, and the king would entertain those that came into the court, entertain their requests, entertain anything that was an issue, a problem. We see that how the two women came to Solomon seeking wisdom, that were essentially entering into his court to receive something, to receive judgment, to receive discernment, to receive those things. And when we enter into the presence of God that way, and we enter into it with thanksgiving, and there we are, the first thing we need to do is praise God. And praise God for who He is. And praise God specifically for who He is. And we look at the last phrase of that verse. It talks about, be thankful unto Him, which refers to entering into His courts with praise. And then it says, and bless His name. The way we bless the name of God is to praise that name, is to praise His Word, is to praise who He is. And that is how we bless our Lord and Savior. So as we enter into this thought this morning, I want us to keep these things in mind. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to You, Lord, with praise. And Lord, we do praise You for who You are, a God that has loved us, a God that has shed His own blood for us, a God that has paid our punishment for sin, died upon a cross, but rose again, Lord, conquering sin and conquering death. And Lord, here we are desiring to know more about You, desiring to know more about how we come to You. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be ready to just be lifted up with praise, that we would just praise You for all that You have done. And that, Lord, that would never leave the lips of our heart. That would never leave the lips of our physical mouth. That, Lord, we would just constantly praise You in everything. And, Lord, again, I just thank You for the time. I thank You for Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that it would all be pleasing and honoring to You. This I do ask and pray in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we think about this idea and concept of praise, as we talked about, it very much relates to this idea of thanksgiving. They do work together. It's along the same lines as where you go over and you see how in Scripture it talks about how peace and righteousness have kissed each other and mercy and truth are together. Those things are things that should not be separated. You cannot have peace without righteousness. It just doesn't work. You really can't have righteousness without that peace that passes all understanding that comes from God, from the Prince of Peace. They're so closely connected that you do not want to separate them. And the same thing is true when we talk about thanksgiving and praise. And while, yes, we talked about it last week, and here we are talking about praise, I want us to link these two, if you will, messages together so that we can come with an understanding of how God wants us to enter into this. How God wants us to come when we do pray. Because again, we understand that thanksgiving is something that will primarily say, Lord, thank you for what you have done. And we talked about that last week. We should be remembering what the Lord has done, and we should be thankful for what the Lord has done. We should constantly bring it up. Thanksgiving should be every part of our prayer life, every part of our day-to-day activity, with everything that we do. Everything we should give thanks to the God, to our God for. But what praise says is, Lord, I'm going to praise you for who you are. See, so many times we get stuck in this mindset of what God does for us that we don't think about who he really is. We're more concerned about, okay, well, all right, I need salvation. Amen. We do. You need to be saved. You need the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cover your sins. The Lord desires, and it says it is not his will that you would perish, amen? But you would come to repentance. He wants you to have that relationship there, okay? We understand that. And I'm not discounting that. Please do not think I'm discounting that in any way, shape, or form, because I'm not. But we sometimes get so focused on what we get that we lose sight of what God is, who he is. And when we don't realize that, we become very selfish in our prayer life. And it's more along the lines of, God give me, God give me, God give me, God give me. More along, many times it's just the Peter prayer, Lord save me. I made the mistake. Now I'm sinking. Can you help me? Amen? And that's not a bad prayer. I'm not saying that's not a bad prayer, but our prayer shouldn't just be that. Our prayer should not be break in case of emergency and pray to God. That's not how it works. That's not what God wants. It says that we are to be entering into his courts with praise, and when we do that and we do these things, we are praising God for who he is, not just what he gives us, not just what he has done for us. Praise looks beyond that gift, looks beyond that blessing, looks beyond that benefit that we have, and it looks to the giver himself. You know, we're westernized, amen? Because we live in the Western world. And what do we think? We think it's all about the gift, right? Well, at least they thought about me. At least, you know, there's a gift. You ever get a gift that just doesn't fit you? And you're like, you don't even know me. And it winds up at our re-gift exchange that we have in January. But you get what I'm saying. But the gifts that God gives us should not be so focused on that gift that we lose sight of that giver that is God. When we do that, we're not in the presence of God with praise. We're not in the presence of God with praise. Take a look at Psalm chapter 48. Psalm chapter 48. Psalm chapter 48, and in verse 1, It says, great is the Lord. Now look, I'll tell you one thing that you can really do if you really want to start getting to know God more. Read the book of Psalms and take your time. Look at each phrase. Look at each phrase and look at what God is saying and look at what the psalmist is saying. Great is the Lord. Is God great? Amen. You know, there's the little saying out there that God is good all the time. Amen? And He is. He is good. I'm not saying that. But you know what He is? He's great. Is not God great? I mean, when we think about everything that God has given to us, He is great. But when we think about who He is, it's even greater than the gift. Because now we begin to realize who exactly He is. And it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God in the mountains of His holiness. Now look, here we are understanding something. The exponential amount of greatness that God is should be revealed in the great amount of praise that we should be giving. Is it not great, God's love? Is it not great, God's salvation? Is it not great, God's creation? Is it not, I mean, we could just go on and on and on about the greatness of God. But oftentimes our prayer is, God, I know You're great, and I thank You for that. But Lord, I need... Don't. Spend time giving a great amount of your time and your prayers to God, just praising His greatness. You're like, I don't even know how to do that. Praise God. God gave us a book that shows us this. He teaches us how to do that. We'll look at some of these things in just a moment. But turn to Psalm chapter 86. He's greatly to be praised. He's greatly to be praised. In Psalm chapter 86, Psalm chapter 86, verse 5, it says, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Man, that's a great thing, isn't it? Is forgiveness great? Why is it so hard for us to do it then? Moving on. We don't want to get too convicted this morning. For thou, Lord, art good and greatly and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. Do we need mercy, folks? Oh, yes, we do. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. This is something that we can give God praise about. When have you praised Him for His mercy? When have you praised Him for His forgiveness? When have we praised Him for His goodness? And not just the forgiveness, but the fact that He is ready to forgive. People often get confused with this, and I know I'm going on a bunny trail, but bear with me for a moment. People often get in this mindset of, well, you know, do I have to forgive them if they don't ask for forgiveness? Well, forgiveness is a transactional thing. Somebody's got to ask, right? The offender has to ask the offendee for forgiveness and apologize. Amen? Okay? But I want you to notice, are we called to be godly? What does that mean? It means that we are to act like God. Are we called to be Christ-like? What does that mean? That means we're supposed to be like Christ. Amen? So what does that mean? That means when it comes time to forgive, we're ready. Not, you know what, I got to think about this. Change your life. It'll change your life. But He says, ready to forgive. This is stuff that we realize that He's great. Turn to Psalm chapter 145. Psalm chapter 145. And in Psalm chapter 145, take a look at verse 3. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and His greatness is Unsearchable. Now, does that mean we just throw up our hands and go, well, I'll never know? No. If somebody, like I said before, if I told you that there was, say, I don't know, 20 pounds of gold buried in the hill back here, would you search for it? I guarantee you we would have like an all-church day where everybody's out there with shovels and pickaxes, and we could probably build a reinforced wall and actually have like a really cool parking structure back there and everything. Maybe I should, never mind. But we'd search for it. Do you get fascinated with those guys that are the actual treasure hunters? And they're searching for it, and they get skunked so often. But then sometimes they find it. Well, I'll tell you this. What's really cool is when they find the clues. And they find a little bit of it. A little bit of a shipwreck on the bottom of the sea. A little bit like of a couple of the coins. A little bit of the elements, and they begin to go, oh, hey, and they start getting more excited about it. But one day we will come to the full realization where we will see all the riches of God in His glory and in His grace in heavenly places, and we will see that with our own eyes, and we will see it, experience, and have that. But I'll tell you, as in time being, we search it out, and even though it seems unsearchable, we continue to search for it. Why? Because it is so great. It is inexhaustible, God's greatness. We're only limited by what we can do, right? Sometimes a politician is a great orator. Oh, let me give you the translation. That means they've got a good speechwriter. They've got a good speechwriter, and they have learned how to excel at speech class. Sometimes people can do that. But there's a limit. You ever see what happens when the great orator does not have a speech in front of him or a teleprompter? And they're asked something off the fly and off the cuff, and they just go, and they just kind of fumble over their words, or they say something really stupid. I think we all can relate to that. But we're limited by what we can do. Sometimes somebody might have great strength, but it's limited. Somebody can have a great ability, but it's limited. God's greatness is not limited. It's not limited and bound by anything, which is what makes it unsearchable, which makes it that we could continue to search for it for a lifetime, and we would never exhaust the greatness. But therein is the exponential amount of praise that we need to be putting into what it is that we say to God. Our life should be a living testimony of praise to God. When we sin, it is not praise to God. When we live righteously according to His word and His will, we are giving praise, but at the same time, He doesn't want us to just live it. He wants us to actually articulate it in our mouths and have it come out, and He wants us to have it in our heart where it dominates our thought process. When's the last time you just were in awe of God and His greatness? We praise God's character. We praise God's character. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. We praise His holiness. Not only do we praise the character of God with His grace and His mercy and His greatness, but here we are praising God as we see here that is going on in this temple, that there's this vision that he sees in verse 3. And he says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Here he is seeing something that is prophetic, and we see these angelic type beings that are here praising. And again, they're not praising God because He gave them something. They're not praising God for a blessing they've received. They're praising God because He is holy. Look, if we can get a just an inkling of a concept of the holiness of God and have that in our life, our Christian walk would be so much different, wouldn't it? Why? Because anything that is of us is not necessarily holy, but everything of Him is holy. We just need more God in our life. We need to praise Him for the holiness that He is. The definition of holy is God. That's who He is. We praise Him for His holiness. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. We know this as we studied very specifically the names of Christ, and we know that He is called faithful and true. And we know that God is faithful. We know that God is faithful to His people. We know that God is faithful to the things that He does here on earth. We know that He's faithful in everything. And what we need to do is we need to just praise His faithfulness. Not His faithfulness to me, but praise faithfulness of God in the aggregate, in everything. Take a look at what we see here in Lamentations chapter 3, and it says here in verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." You ever think about that one? That's a good one to meditate on. When's the last time you just go, "Lord, I want to praise You for Your mercy for not burning me to a pulp where I stand"? And somebody's like, well, would God do that? He's done stuff before, but I'm not saying He's going to do it to you, but I want to just be clear. I think we need to praise Him for that ability that He can. But more importantly, that He doesn't allow us to be consumed with sometimes with our own sin. Where He heaps sin upon sin. Now, sometimes He does allow people, give them over to a reprobate mind, as Scripture says, but here the prophet is lamenting a situation with Israel, and he says it is very much His mercy that we are not consumed, that God has not just done away with them entirely. He said it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Does our compassion fail? Let's just face it, we're biased, bigoted people, and we have compassion on whom we will have compassion. God was compassionate enough that He gave Himself for the entire world. But in verse 23, talking about the Lord's mercies, it says, "They are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness." The Lord's mercy, and we talked about the mercy of His character, but when we get to this point where we're talking about not only His character, not only His holiness, but about His faithfulness and His faithfulness to extend mercy. His faithfulness to give mercy. His faithfulness just to do that alone is something that is praiseworthy, where we have to lift up our voices in praise. And it's a powerful thing when we begin to realize the prophet here is speaking in the midst of a tremendous difficulty and a tremendous time of trials and all sorts of stuff that is going on. But his circumstances, you know, that's the problem. His circumstances were not producing praise. His circumstances were not producing that praise. What was producing his praise was the knowledge of God's faithfulness that produced the praise that we see here. The problem of why we don't praise Him that much is because we don't know Him that much. We don't know His love. We don't know His compassion. We don't know His mercy. We don't know His forgiveness. We don't know His character. We don't know those things. So our praise is limited into what we can do. So as we just dive into knowing more about God, knowing more about Christ, knowing more about His Spirit, knowing more about Him from His Word, that will become more and more evident of what we need to praise Him for. Greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. I want you to turn back over to the book of Psalms, and I want you to go back over there to Psalm chapter 146. I want you to see the very first verse. What does it say? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Not just with your flesh, but with who you are, your soul. And then he begins to go on, and in verse 2, he says, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Everything about him is just saying, look, my whole life is going to be dedicated to the praise of God. You want to know God's will for your life? Right there. What if we devoted our life just to that? Well, I can't sing. Come on, neither can I. I get up here and I try. And poor Dan and Josh, I got to listen to it as it's blasting into their ear. I'm surprised that I haven't seen them come up with earmuffs on the one side. But you understand what I'm saying is it's more than just the song. It's something that we do. And he says, while I live, I'm going to praise him. While I still have my being about me, I'm still going to praise him. While this soul is still inside this carcass of flesh, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. I want you to take a look at Psalm chapter 147. What's the first verse? Praise ye the Lord. And look at how he puts this. And look at what he says. He says, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord looks at praise and sees something beautiful. The Lord looks at praise and sees something that to him is something to be cherished. He looks at that and goes, wow, I like that. It's comely. But not only is it comely for him, it is comely for us when we see that. Have you ever truly seen somebody get so excited about God that all they can do is praise them and you kind of get a little, get a little excited about that too? I know, we're all introverts, so we just kind of don't. But what we need to do is we get excited about those things, and we see that, and that is something that is beautiful. It is something that when we look at it and we go, wow, there is something about that that is amazing. This is what praise is. And again, we go through this and we can find out why he's saying all of these things about praise ye the Lord. I want you to look back at the previous chapter in 146. Look at verse 10. Look at how he closes the psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Take a look at what we see here in this same chapter in Psalm 147. How does he close it? Praise ye the Lord. Now, psalms, I can almost describe them as, if you will, prayers that are sung to God. And when we think about this, this should be how we approach this idea of praise. The beginning and the end of this, of our prayer should be praise to God. The beginning and the end of our prayer should be praise to God. Take a look at what he says in Psalm 148, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Now this one goes into a lot more about what to praise him for, but again, going with the same thing, look at the last verse, verse 14, how does he close it? Praise ye the Lord. And we go through, we see this through the last chapters of the book of Psalms are all about what? Praising God. Praising God. And if you will, you take this idea and this concept of taking the entire book of Psalms and going to Psalm chapter 1, where he talks about, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the what? The law of the Lord. He's talking about the Word of God. We have Psalm 119. It's all about the Word of God in there. And then we come to the end of it, and it's talking about, in the Word of God, about how we praise Him. And it all starts off when we are in His Word, and we're getting an understanding of what His Word does. The natural thing is to praise God for who He is. That's what we do in our, it should be doing in our day-to-day life. Look, when you're done reading your Bible, I mean, you just close it. And you're just like, okay. Don't treat it like that. Pray. Pray before you start reading it. Pray after you read it. Close it and say, Lord, help me retain that. Lord, help me hide those things that I just read in my heart. But Lord, I want to praise you that you even gave us the Word. Lord, I want to praise you for the holiness that's in your Word. I want to praise you for the goodness that I see in your Word. Lord, I want to praise you for how great you are with everything that I see that reveals you in what I just read. Praise ye the Lord. By the way, that praise ye the Lord is a commandment. It's not optional. It's not optional. We find individuals that prayed prayers of praise. We see Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and in the first 10 verses, she's praying to God, and she's in what she's praying for. And as you go through and read it, you see that she's praising God for His holiness. She's praising God for who He is. Praising God for His knowledge, praising God for His power, praising God for His sovereignty, praising God that He humbles the proud, praising God for His ability to exalt the humble. She's going through and she's praising God for those things. David in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, one of the greatest examples of all prayer, praise in prayer in Scripture. Here he is praising in those verses, in verses 10 through 19. He says, blessed be thou the Lord God of our Father, forever and ever. And then he goes into talking about who he is, and he talks about how great he is, and how great in power he is, and great in glory, and great in victory, and great in majesty. And he keeps continuing on with, he then says, who am I? Who am I in comparison to God? Who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly, he says. And what is he doing? He's going back and he's praising God because he realizes that everything that they're giving for this purpose was all because of God. And he's praising him for it. He's praising him for it. Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 8, dedication of the temple. He praises God. And he says in 1 Kings 8, 23, he says, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. There is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath. And then he says, God bless this temple. But he begins with who God is and then with what God has done. When's the last time we've truly acknowledged there is no God like Him? There is no God like Him. You know what that means? There is no God like Him. Not even our career, not our family, not our spouse, not our children, not our friends, not us, amen. Nothing. There is no God like Him. There is no God like Him anywhere to be found. Daniel, he praises the Lord in Daniel chapter 2, getting this dream when he reveals it. And he says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. When's the last time we praised Him just for the wisdom and might? No, sometimes we just think, we like to praise our own wisdom because we think we're smart. Yeah. For wisdom and might are His. He understands that he says in that same passage in Daniel chapter 2, he says, he giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Everything you've learned, by the way, about him, about God, about the knowledge of the holy and the wisdom that is his, all came from him. And I think we need to realize that and praise God for that. Praise God for that. I mean, and when we start thinking about this idea that sometimes we want to say, well, I'm willing to praise him, but here's my situation. Look, we praise him regardless of the circumstances. We praise him regardless of the circumstances. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Now look, I'm not asking for a time of testimony. You can keep your hands down on this one. How many of us have been to jail? Like I said, keep your hands down. Not a fun thing, is it? It's not a fun thing to be detained. It's not a fun thing to be imprisoned. It's not a fun thing to be jailed. It's not a fun thing to be in handcuffs. It's not fun to be put into a cell and have the door locked, realizing you can't get out of there. It's not, there's the word fun shouldn't even exist in that context, amen? If we truly understand why we're there. But here's a situation where you've got Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, and they are imprisoned. Why? Because they just talked about Jesus. You know, that might come this someday in this country. There's crazier things that are happening around the world now, including our neighbors up north. Just ask some of the pastors that have been jailed for it. Ask some of the pastors down in Mexico, because they have been preaching certain things, that have been executed, martyred for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there's a certain element down there that doesn't want that. But here they are in verse 25, and it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. This is after they've been beaten, by the way. This is after they've been beaten and, thrown in, all sorts of stuff. It says in verse 23, many stripes were laid upon them. They're put in there. They're put in the inner prison. Their feet are made fast in the stocks, meaning they're not going anywhere. Not only are they locked in, but now they're shackled in. They're bound with fetters and chains. And here it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang what? Praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I like how God just adds that. And the prisoners heard them. Look, praise is not something that you just do quietly. Praise is an open prayer that you give that everyone should hear. That everyone should hear. And it says here, that, like I said, they've been beaten, they've been imprisoned, all sorts of stuff, and here they are up at midnight. You know, at midnight, sometimes what are we still doing? We're scrolling on our phone, doom scrolling, right? You do it, don't look at me that way. But you know, you get what I'm saying. Here they are, and they're singing praises to God. And again, they weren't praising God because prison was a pleasant place to be. Besides, this prison is nowhere near the prisons that we have today. If you've been in a prison, like over in that Macedonian area and over there, they're ugly. There's slime on the walls. It's nasty. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's not fit for humans, but that's where they put them. That's where they put them. And they weren't praising it because it was pleasant. They were praising God in the prison. They were praising God in the difficult time. And again, this is an opportunity to be a testimony and a witness where the praise is the testimony of who God is. It wasn't, and look, this praise wasn't to sit there and necessarily encourage them. This praise was just to praise God for who He is, even when it was less than desirable. Habakkuk. We think of Habakkuk over there and turn to chapter 3. Habakkuk is over there in the Old Testament. And I want us to think about this in Habakkuk chapter 3. And in verse 17, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. You're like, that sounds pretty bad. What does that mean? No food. No food. No provision. No daily anything. He says, even though that happens, in verse 18, what does he say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I think we need to take that verse and like plaster it everywhere. Even though life stinks, has life stunk for you at some point in time? Did we rejoice? Did we praise God for who He is? We rejoice in the Lord, meaning that we know Him and we are in Him and we realize, hey, He is my salvation. You know what? I'm going to praise God for that. I'm going to give praise for that. It describes a difficult time. And we see here very clearly that he's saying, look, yet, verse 18, the very first word, yet, if everything fails, God still remains God. God never changes. Why? Because we are so consumed over here with praising Him for His faithfulness and for His mercy and for His grace. But the situations that we're in become opportunities to just say, God, I'm going to praise You. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no clue. Yet, I'm still going to do what I need to do, which is, Lord, give You praise for who You are. Even though I can't see what's on that other hill, even though I can't see what's 3 feet in front of me, even though I can't see any of that, even though I don't even know where my next meal is coming from, Lord, I'm still going to rejoice. I'm still going to praise You. I'm still going to praise You. And that's truly praise. So when we begin to make things like thanksgiving and praise the greater part of our prayer life, we begin to see that this begins to change our perspective. It begins to combat sometimes sinful anxiety that exists. It begins to redirect our attention from our circumstances to God. It begins to magnify God rather than the problem. Sometimes we are so focused on that, amen? And it gives us this again, with thanksgiving and praise combined together, it brings us to a point of where we are content. It brings contentment in our lives. You want to know how to get contentment? Be thankful and just praise God for who God is. That's something that we should go with. And again, what does praise do? Praise is going to strengthen our faith. Why? Because it begins to show more about who He is, and we're going to be more obedient to Him the more we know Him. And we enter into that. And as we've talked about what the book of Psalms is, the book of Psalms is very clearly a book that shows thanksgiving throughout it, but it is a book that shows praise throughout it. In Psalm chapter 18, it gives praise for God's deliverance. Psalm chapter 34, it gives continual praise throughout it. Psalm chapter 40, it gives it praises God by remembering His deliverance. In Psalm chapter 63, it praises Him in a dry place when you don't have everything you need and sometimes you're thirsty and you're wanting something. There's praise that is there. Psalm chapter 66, you praise God for his works. And again, back over there, Psalm chapter 145 through Psalm chapter 150, is just praising God for who God is. Praising God for who God is. So thanksgiving and praise has to become the habit of our prayer. Not an automatic habit that we do unconsciously, but something that is purposed. That is purposed. And as we've said before, it changes our prayer life. It changes our prayer pattern. Because our prayer pattern will get so stuck in this thing of, Lord, give me. Lord, help me. Lord, fix this. Lord, change this. And then it moves it to, Lord, thank you. And then it moves it to, Lord, I confess. Lord, I begin to ask. But it again, we enter into that, Lord, I do all of that because I know who you are. And I love who you are. And I can do nothing but praise you for that. We praise our spouses. Psalm chapter 31 talks about the proverbial woman, and specifically talks about how the husband and the children praise her. And we like that. We like praise, don't we? It's one of those love language things. Sorry. You know, words of affirmation, right? Praise. But I understand all of that. And sometimes we don't like the praise. It makes us uncomfortable. Praise never makes God uncomfortable. God thinks praise is beautiful. God thinks of praise as a blessing unto him. That's why we have to begin to look at our prayer life and say, Lord, how is it you want me to pray? Lord, teach me to pray. And look, requests aren't wrong. He wants us to come with those requests. But God is more than just a supplier of requests. He's more than that. He's our Father. He's our Creator. He's our Redeemer. He's our Shepherd. He's our King. He's our Strength. He's our Provider. He's our Might. He's our Fortress. He's our High Tower. He's our Comfort. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. I mean, I could go on. Amen. We need to have our mouths and our hearts filled with praise for that. Just for those things there. The thought, kind of central thought that ties these two messages together is this, is that prayer asks God for what we need. Thanksgiving remembers what God has done. Praise rejoices in whom God is. And the progression that we see is as we say, Lord, I need you to do something. That's what the supplication is. But the thanksgiving part that comes there and before it as we enter in is, Lord, I remember what you've already done for me. And Lord, I'm going to praise you for your faithfulness in those things before I come and ask and petition you for anything. Lord, I want to remember everything that you've already done. And Lord, I want to praise you for a God that answers prayer. I want to praise you for a God that shows your love towards me. I want to praise you for a God that loves me. I want to praise you for on and on and on. And then we say, and Lord, there's a little thing I would like before we get to that. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And we enter into his courts with praise. When those things become part of our prayer life, we begin to really truly understand the greatest answer to prayer isn't always getting what we ask for. The greatest part of prayer is knowing the God to whom we have just prayed. And how humbling it truly is. Let's think about that when we pray. Let's stand. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe something in our prayer life is not the way it should be. Today's a good day to get that fixed, get that taken care of. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I don't want you to leave here today without knowing a few things. It is our sin that has separated the relationship between us and our Creator, our God. And that sin has to be dealt with. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But I like the next part. It says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're here today and you've never come to the Lord, told Him you're a sinner, that you need salvation, that you need forgiveness of sins, and you want to have an eternal relationship with Him, I encourage you to do that today. In a moment, we're going to sing a song. But if you're here today, I want to show you from Scripture and the Bible how easy it is to trust Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says in the book of Acts, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It is that simple. And somebody can show you from the Word of God what it means to truly know you have an eternity in heaven with a faithful, merciful, gracious, loving God. I encourage you to come forward when we start singing. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for this time. I pray, Lord, that as we sing this hymn, that, Lord, our hearts would be lifted up with praise to You for who You are, that we are found complete in You in everything. And Lord, I pray for everyone here. Pray for our own prayer life, that, Lord, You would show us where we're in need to do some revision, to change according to Your design. And Lord, also, if there's somebody here that has not trusted You as their Savior, please work in their heart, Lord, that they would come forward and receive You today. I ask and pray this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.